when they made the announcement for these meetings that we were going to be meeting jointly with entomologists, I contacted my colleague Kevin in the biology department and said, we need to go together and we need to make a presentation together. So we're going to tell you about how we perceive our plant science students from my agriculture background and from his biology background. So we're from the University of Tennessee at Martin. It's located in the northwest part of the state. We're up here. We're a rural community. Our university has about 7,000 undergraduates, and those undergraduates study a variety of degrees, 17 with about 100 concentrations. We're not a research university, but we do have a small master's program in 5 different areas. I'm in the Department of Agriculture, Geosciences, and Natural Resources, and our department currently has about 1,000 undergraduate students, and there we're 55% male, 45% female, so almost 50-50. The majors that we have within our department, we offer bachelor's of sciences in agriculture, geosciences, or natural resources management. And I need to point out that row crop production is the main industry in our region of the state of Tennessee. So our agriculture majors, they come from this rural area. Most of them come from rural backgrounds. They've got ag production in their background, and their high schools, they've been very active in 4-H and FFA programs, and they want to go back to the farm or work in the production ag industry. But a significant portion of our majors come from rural areas, in particular Memphis. They're interested in veterinary science, and they're interested in working in small animal clinics or in zoos. So what about our students? Our agriculture students with this rural background often struggle initially through the math and sciences. They're coming from ag programs. They've signed up for an ag program. And, oh, gosh, do we have to take math? Do we have to take chemistry? Do we have to take biology? As mentioned by the first speaker, we have a lot of them coming from community colleges now. In fact, this year, Tennessee started a program called the Tennessee Promise, where they guarantee all high school graduates free community college education for a 2-year program. So we're seeing a little downslide in our students coming in as freshmen, but we're going to see these coming down the road from the community colleges. And as they come from those community college environments, we may find ourselves working with juniors and seniors that lack a good foundation in the sciences, and especially from those programs that have an agriculture program at that community college. So what are our goals within the department for our plant science and soil science students? We want to give them a broad background in agriculture, and that's a fundamental mission of our department. We want them to further or more intensively study the plant and soil sciences. And we want them to have practical applications of the knowledge and skills through internships and research that they do while they're undergraduates with us. And we want to take them through a student life cycle so that they graduate as adults. And as part of that educational experience, all of our plant and soil science students take entomology and upper division zoology or biology class that is taught by my colleague, Dr. Pitts.
So this is where I'm going to take over and tell you a little bit about sort of my perspective on the students that we have, specifically the ones that we share. So I think in order for you to understand where I come from in my perspective, you need to see a little bit about my background, because I am not an ag person. I am very much founded in the biological sciences. So I have a BS in biology from a small liberal arts school that has no agriculture program. When I took my foundational entomology courses, they were taught as biology classes, and there was really no ag component to them. I went to the University of Kentucky. Certainly there's a big ag component to what you do in an entomology program, but I'm an insect systematist. I am about as, you know, far outside of the applied part of the entomological program as you can get. And then my postdoc is at the Field Museum in Chicago. So again, you can sort of see that where I come from, I had to adjust my perspective so that I could understand who my students were, and you'll see here in just a minute, I've got a lot of ag students. And so I have kind of this split personality when I deal with my class. So my step along the path, as Paula said, is Zoology 325. It's a four-hour course, 3 hours of lecture, 1 hour of lab. The lab is day one. I give you your requirements for your insect collection. Monday next, they give me their insect collection. Along the way, I give them a midterm checkpoint, let them know how they're doing, do a midterm lab exam, do a final lab exam, but that's it. So there's a lot of independence for the students. And that's where I think we run into a little bit of the problem with some of the students that don't come in with a solid science background. My majors are split, basically 50% biology, 50% agriculture, and so I have to find a way to make this class relevant for both of those populations. Very few other majors come in. I've had, I think, one chemistry, a handful of secondary ed, but in reality, I have two major populations that I'm serving. So to sort of keep with our theme here, Paula gets the students very early on in their development. I get them when they're further along. And so when I look at my biology students, I look at them as a little bit closer to pupation than what my ag students are, because of the foundation they have in the upper division biology lab courses that they bring in that my ag students don't. So the organismal concentration in our school has an invertebrate requirement, and so I get a bunch of students for the invert requirement taking entomology to fulfill that. For other concentrations, like our cell and molecular, this is a pure elective. I get a handful, but you don't get a lot of gene jockeys looking to work with the bugs. So I don't get that many crossovers. It is usually occupied by juniors and seniors, so it's a 300-level course. And with my biology students, a lot of them come in with that strong foundation in the biological lab component. And so giving them a sort of a capstone project is something that they're ready to handle. And so we're going to sort of see that when I talk about the ag students, I get a little bit different perspective from them. And so I consider my biology students to be, and I'm not saying that they're better, right? I don't want anyone to misinterpret what I'm saying. I think that for the rigors of the course, they have the foundation that establishes what they need to hit the ground running. And you're going to see that as we go and talk about what the ag students bring in, they're going to have what they need at the end. And so I have you know, this population that I have to serve that's different from my biology students with my ag students. And so, again, I think they come in a little bit developmentally behind where my biology students do. Paula introduced who I have. I have a number of different concentrations from my agriculture students, plant soil sciences in golf course landscape management, crop and soil management, ag production. And so these are very applied fields. I'm not an applied guy. So I have to take this course, and I have to make it relevant to the basic scientists that are my biologists, along with the applied scientists that are coming in here. And again, this is in some instances the first and only upper division biology lab that they're going to have. And so they take a little bit of time to acclimate and understand what it is that I'm going to be asking of them. And so because of this, I put them kind of a little bit earlier in their development. But again, the whole goal here is once we reach the end of the semester, everybody's an adult. So I have to find a way to balance that out. And so, you know, I think I sort of mentioned this before. I feel like I have a split personality class where I have to make it relevant to both of the audiences that I have. My biology students, they understand the idea of just the pure knowledge, the basic information to understand the group, understand the biology. And so they come in and they grasp the external morphology, internal anatomy, physiology stuff that we do early on. Whereas when my ag students come in, they want to know, you know, what can we do to kill these things? You know, what can we do to control populations? Tell me about pest management. Tell me about plant-insect interactions. And so I have to throw that basic information, I have to pitch that basic information to them in a way that says, here's where it's going to go, here's where you're going to take it in the future. So if you don't understand what we're doing now, you're never going to understand where we're going. And so again, we'll hit that here in a minute. So in order to meet the needs of both the audiences, I have to work really hard early on to get the agriculture students on board with what I'm doing. I have to take the external morphology, and when I'm talking about the exoskeleton, when I'm talking about spiracles and the tracheal system, I need to let them know that if you ever want to understand how contact poisons work, you need to understand the mode of entry. If you're ever going to understand fumigants, you need to understand how this tracheal system works. And so I really work hard to frame that foundational material in a way that's relevant for them. And so again, the big thing that I like to tell my students is if you don't understand what acetylcholine is and you don't understand how acetylcholinesterase works, you're never going to understand how the nerve poisons work. And so you really need to, you know, understand how this fits with the applied stuff that you're really interested in, so that when we get there, you really understand how it works and why it works. Another area where I need to get them on board is the external morphology, looking at mouthparts and things like that, and sort of tying that to the plant-insect interactions that we cover later on in the semester. I have the same thing I have to do for my biology students, and the big thing that I do for them is take them out of their comfort zone by making them go out and do more applied type things, get them in the field. And some of them, this is the first and only field experience that they'll have. So move beyond just the textbook information, take them into the applied side, have them understand what the information that we're covering is used for. It's not just learning about nerves to learn about nerves. There is stuff that we can do with that later on. And then certainly with the plant-insect interactions, how we take the foundational stuff on morphology and internal anatomy and apply that later on. So in the end, what we're trying to do is get both populations to end up at the same place at the same time. And, you know, since we're there in the semester now, it's really interesting for me to see that it is coming together for them. So I have to get these two populations on board with the same material, the same lectures, the same lab, and get them to hit the same place at the end. So coming in, the biology students are closer to that goal, but they slow down when we hit the applied material, which is where we are in the semester now. My agriculture students come in a little bit developmentally before, but at the end they gain traction because the material is really relevant to them. But I think it's more relevant to them because we spend the time talking about what you need to understand to actually do the applied work. And so in the end, what we really strive for here is the populations both reaching adulthood, the final stage, at the same time. So with that, I would like to thank you and open for any questions you might have for us.
We really don't have time.
No time? Okay.
But we have 5 minutes.